Good morning. I think probably all of us know of the, I don't know what to call it, so I'll call it a tradition of knocking on wood. Don't exactly know where it started, but it seems to be kind of, I guess, surrounded with this, or surrounds this superstition of if someone is to talk about the good luck that they've had or bring to the attention of others that they have, that bad things have not happened to them recently, that all of a sudden bad things are going to happen to them. Right? If you were to be talking with somebody and say something along the lines of, I haven't had a car wreck this year or something like that, well, you got to be careful then. Like, you might as well just mark it down. You're going to have a car wreck at this point. But knocking on wood changes everything. The whole story changes at that point. There's something about knuckle flesh touching wood that's kind of like a cancel button. Like anything bad that was about to happen to you, knock on wood, right? It's not going to happen now. So we're a little bit into the new year now. We're just about 5 days into it. If I was to ask you, have you been put out of your comfort zone within these last 5 days? Have you been put out of your comfort zone in this new year? Would your answer to that be no, but with a at the end? Going out of our comfort zone is scary. Like that's what goes with it, right? In our comfort zone is comfort and safety, and outside of it, it's not there. But some of the greatest opportunities to glorify our Heavenly Lord lies outside of our comfort zone. There's plenty of opportunities within. Don't get me wrong, but it's outside. The opportunities that are outside, the ones that make us terrified, the ones that make us feel weak, the ones that make us feel incapable, the ones that we really have to trust God in, it is those opportunities that we reach for. And with God's help, we grasp, and you know what that shows? That shows to everybody around us, the world around us, and to ourselves, the power of God. And it glorifies Him. We should grab those opportunities. We shouldn't hide from them. We shouldn't run from them. Peter even had Christ call him to one. Turn with me to Matthew chapter 14. Matthew chapter 14. And I'm going to begin reading in verse 22. Immediately, we're talking about Jesus here, he made the disciples get into the boat and go before him to the other side while he dismissed the crowds. And after he had dismissed the crowds, he went up on the mountain by himself to pray. When evening came, he was there alone. But the boat by this time was a long way from the land, beaten by the waves, for the wind was against them. And in the fourth watch of the night, he came to them walking on the sea. But when the disciples saw him walking on the sea, they were terrified and said, "It is a ghost." And they cried out in fear, but immediately Jesus spoke to them, saying, "Take heart, it is I, do not be afraid." Now maybe we don't know a whole lot or have a whole lot of experience with sailing around here, but we certainly do have a lot of experience with wind, and it makes sense that you wouldn't want to mix the extreme with one with the other. It seems like a terrifying situation. That's what's presented to us, right? It's not some sort of pleasant trip that these disciples are on. They are fighting against the wind. The wind is so strong and has the waves that are beating against the boat, and then they are approached by a ghost out in the middle of all of this, which turns out to be Jesus. And after they've seen Jesus, then Peter calls out to Jesus. As Peter is calling out to Jesus, you know what Peter knows? Peter knows that Jesus can stop the wind. He can stop this storm. Peter was present at the instance that we read in Matthew chapter 8 and verse 26, where Jesus got up and rebuked the winds and the sea, and it became perfectly calm. And you know what? That's exactly what I would have done. I would have said, "Jesus, stop these winds, stop these waves. Jesus, if that is you, please, right, put me back in my comfort zone." But Peter didn't. We continue to read in verse 28, and Peter answered him, "Lord, if it is you, command me to come to you on the water." And he said, "Come." So Peter got out of the boat and walked on the water and came to Jesus. But when he saw the wind, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, "Lord, save me." Jesus immediately reached out his hand and he took hold of him, saying to him, "Oh, you of little faith, why did you doubt?" And when they got into the boat, the wind ceased, and those in the boat worshipped him, saying, "Truly, you are the Son of God." Instead of Peter calling out to Jesus, say, "Lord, if that is you, stop this situation, stop the wind, stop the waves, take this away." Instead, Peter says, "Call me out on this." And what was the result? Well, Peter fell into the water, right? Almost drowned. Well, is that true? I mean, do we look at this situation? Do we look at Peter falling into the water and say, "What a big mistake on his part! What a huge mistake for Peter to say, 'Call me out onto this.' Doesn't he know that he's going to drown?" Well, we can look at it that way, but what we can also look at is that Peter walked on water. We can look at this moment where Peter actually goes out and walks on the water, and we can look at that and say, you know what? Peter didn't make a mistake. Christ was glorified. That's no mistake on Peter's part. And as we go out on this life and go through this sea of life that we have, we understand that there's going to be a whole lot of changes, and they happen in an instant. It's not always going to be calm waters. Sometimes it'll be rough waters. Sometimes it'll be calm waters. Whatever the change, what is always presented to us is opportunities to leave our comfort zone to the glory of God. We can try to do the opposite, right? We can try to stay within this zone of comfort and peace and security that we have. You know, if life changes towards the bad, if the storms come, we can try to hunker down and get everything back to normalcy again. Or we can ask God for help to glorify Him in those times. And that meant a couple of things for Peter. For Peter, that meant that he was calling Jesus he was asking Jesus to call him out into this big way to glorify him in the midst of this hard situation. Even though this was terrifying, really, to be called out on this water, to be called out on this storm, he said, "Jesus, call me out to this anyway." And when we are faced with these fearful opportunities, these things that scare us, these opportunities, but we know that if we do them, we can glorify God. We shouldn't be afraid of those opportunities. We should just ask God for help to do them and to glorify God. I think about Paul in Acts chapter 17. When he goes to Athens and he sees all these idols and it pricks him in his heart and it stirs his spirit, and he says, "You know what? I could do something to this." Does he hunker down and stay in his comfort zone and let the opportunity pass? No, he does it. And I wouldn't doubt that there's a whole lot of seeking God's help in that when he does. When our spirit is provoked and we know that we can give God glory, let's grab onto those moments and do so. And this is applicable not just to these big acts, like the walking on water and preaching to the entire city of Athens, but what else did Peter do? What else was Peter asking whenever he asked Jesus to call him out on the water? He looked at the situation where it seemed impossible to walk like Jesus, and he asked Jesus to help him to do that. Sometimes the things that stretch us is not always the big things. It's not always these really huge things that we imagine. Sometimes it's just walking like Christ. Sometimes there are moments where doing so is just completely against who we are. Especially when the storms of life hit, when things get rough. There are times where we say, "You know what, I can walk like Christ, but it seems impossible." And you know what, if I'm being honest with myself, I don't really want to. I just want to stay doing what I'm used to doing. I just want to handle things the way that I'm used to handling it. Just ask Christ, help us to walk like you in those situations. It's much easier to pray for those storms to just not come, or for those storms to stop. And you know what? There's nothing wrong with praying for the safety of our families and praying for security within our families. That goes along with praying for our daily bread. But at the same time, we know storms are going to come in our life. We know that, and I hope that I'm not breaking any big news to anybody here or to myself. 2025 is not going to be a perfect year. We're going to face trials. We're going to face crises. We know that. And we realize, or there's this idea that if I pray for God to allow me to walk on the water to go through these hard times, that I'm making life harder on myself. But that's not what Peter was asking for, and that's not what I'm talking about. Peter did not ask, call me into a situation where I'm going to drown. Peter did not say, pull me out into this where I'm going to be, where my life is going to be put at stake. But Peter asked, draw me out onto the water with the full knowledge that Jesus was going to help him to walk and not to drown. And Peter is not the only example of this. We also have, in the Old Testament, we have the example of Solomon. Solomon was asked by God what he desired, and we read this in 1 Kings chapter 3 and verse 7. Now, O Lord my God, you have made your servant king in place of my father David. Yet I am but a little child. I do not know how to go out or to come in. Your servant is in the midst of your people, which you have chosen, a great people who are too many to be numbered or to be counted. It sounds like a pretty scary situation. And I don't know, maybe Solomon could have asked to get out of that some way. Please just remove this situation from me. Take the storms away. But instead, this is what he prays in verse 9. So give your servant an understanding heart to judge your people, to discern between good and evil. For who is able to judge this great people of yours? Solomon didn't pray to have the storms taken away. He prayed to have the ability to withstand them and to walk on them and to approach them in a way to give God the most glory that he could. And the following pages after this tells how he did that. It tells about Solomon succeeding, not failing. He succeeded, number one, and the biggest reason that he had success is because God was pleased with what he asked for. He was pleased that Solomon asked for a way to glorify him, but also he succeeded when the situation arose. He succeeded the first time, or at least the first time that's revealed to us, that this wisdom is tested with the two women that are disputing over the sun. And you know what? Solomon didn't drown in that situation. He walked on the water, and he glorified God doing it. Sometimes I am afraid to ask God to call me out on the water. Give me ways to glorify you. Allow me to glorify you when things get tough. I get hard to do it. It's hard for me to do that because I imagine that he hears only my fear. You know, if I ask for this situation, the worst is going to happen. You know, if I pray for wisdom, then the hardest opportunity is going to pop up for me to practice that. But what I am forgetting is that God hears our prayers and answers our prayers. He doesn't answer our fears. And sometimes that answer scares us, right? But it always ends up in the best. Jesus in the garden, he did pray for the cup to pass from him if that was possible, but more than that, he prayed for God's will to be done. God's will for him was to be on a cross for us. You know, I can't see a bigger way of asking God, call me out on the water so that I can glorify you. And what was the result of that? Well, Jesus died, right? He died and he suffered and he died on a cross. Well, if we choose to look at it that way, I mean, he did die, but more importantly than that, and what we should look at, is Jesus lived. He lived a glorious life because of him being called out to this great task that God had given him. He was blessed with a true and glorious life, and we can choose to look at the difficulty of stretching ourselves, or the difficulty in going outside of our comfort zone, or the difficulty of seeking God's glory whenever it's hardest to do. But we can also look at it as an opportunity to live a glorious life. Glorious, number one, truly glorious because we are giving glory to God, but also glorious because we're not being held back. A life that's held back isn't a glorious life. And what's holding us back is our fear. Our fear and our doubt and our concern and our desire for our own safety, a glorious life is without that. A glorious life is set free in trust in God who's never let anybody down. Who has God ever let down? And something that's hard for me to realize is that it really doesn't matter what stage of life I get to. It's never going to feel like a good opportunity to do that. It's never going to feel like a great opportunity to leave my comfort zone. There's a whole lot of reasons anybody can throw out, right? I'm too young. I'm too old. I have kids. The kids finally got out of the house. I have no time. I have bad health. But God wants us to glorify Him. He wants us to walk like His Son in opportunities that give Him the most glory. And if now's not the opportunity or the time, when are we going to feel like it is? If it's not now, it'll probably be never. But Peter looked at this opportunity and said, you know what? Now is my time. There's not a better time than this. Lord, call me out on this water. You know, Peter walked on water. And you know what? I wonder if he realized that was the perfect opportunity. And we'll realize that as well. When we stretch ourselves and go outside of our comfort zone and we rely on God, you know we're going to realize that was the perfect opportunity to do so. It always is. Yes, but Peter started to sink. But Peter didn't sink. He didn't. Jesus was there to pick him up, and you know what? Peter could walk away from that situation fearful and say, I'm never going to go near the water again. I would never try that again. Or he could walk away from that situation and say, you know what? I walked on water. I did. I had the ability to do it with Jesus' help. And you know what? He could have tried it again with Jesus' help. The only time that we're really, if we feel like we're failing, or if we feel like we're going to fail, or we start getting fearful, the only time that we're truly in danger is when we start to distrust God and distrust our Christ who watches over us. Let's not talk about Peter sinking. Don't tell me about Peter sinking. You know what? Peter walked on water. Isn't that an amazing thing? Peter, who is a man or was a human just like us. You and I, just like us. Peter walked on water. It reminds me of what James wrote in James chapter 5 and verse 17. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly that it would not rain, and it did not rain on the earth for 3 years and 6 months. But man is capable of amazing things, right? Man is capable, if man puts his mind to it, he's capable of amazing things, right? No. God is capable of amazing things. He always is. He always has been. He brings the unimaginable out of people just like you and I. And you know what? If we stretch ourselves, if we say, you know, it does not matter what's going to come my way this year or any year or the year after that, I'm going to glorify God in whatever I do. Even if it seems scary, I'm going to do that. If we stretch ourselves to do that, you know what we're going to see? God is going to help us. If we say, call me out onto the water, God will help us walk on it. Not drown. And this is the most wonderful part, it will be for Him and the glory that He deserves. If you this morning need to begin the great change of your life, walking out into the great water of being saved, if you need to turn your life over to Christ, please come forward while we stand and as we sing.